Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, thanks to Superbook Sports, live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios at Hawkins Field. The Vandy boys tonight, 7 o'clock, taking on Eastern Illinois. You know what's crazy? Is this time next year, like if Vanderbilt plays a day regional game, I guess we're off the air, right?
Quite possible.
I mean, I would assume that we probably would be, because we'll be obviously the, I mean, we already are the flagship of Vandy, but now they're all right here, 102.5. Coach Clark Lee, by the way, going to join us at 5 o'clock right here out at Hawkins Field. And we got some SEC news to get in with him. Now, I got to defend my guy, Barry Trotz. So this has kind of been a little bit of a something-something here in Nashville, but not really, because I'm not sure that we care. But the hockey world is just furious with Barry Trotz. And Boomer Gordon, who hosts a very popular show on NHL radio on Sirius XM, Boomer Gordon was back off of vacation, and they were talking about the Predators' decision to fire John Hines and to hire Andrew Burnett. And I don't, Boomer speaks for Boomer Gordon, but I think this is how a lot of people in the NHL feel about the way that Barry Trotz treated John Hines over the last 2 months. Here's what Boomer Gordon had to say.
I can't tell you how horrible I think this is. Like, I was actually physically angered by this yesterday. I mean, someone needs to convince me that Barry Trotz didn't do John Hines really dirty on this one. And Barry Trotz is an ex-coach.
Yeah,
so
he knows.
Like, he knows. And you only get one chance to make a first impression. This was his first move as a general manager, and I thought he showed tremendous disrespect to Hines. And I don't want to hear any crap about, well, Bruno was the one guy he wanted. And if you're gonna interview a guy, regardless of whether he's still in the playoffs like Jersey was for two rounds, if it's one guy, the media shouldn't know. But the media knew on this one. If you and Andrew Burnett can't keep it a secret. So John Hines has to live his life knowing that the incoming GM is interviewing candidates for his job? That's a very uncomfortable feeling.
So I got to defend Barry Trotz here, because I don't think Barry did anything wrong. In fact, Elliot Friedman wrote, and Adam Vingan just sent this to me, coaches weren't thrilled about Barry Trotz, who was one of them for a long time, taking his time making a coaching decision in Nashville. I was reminded that Bill Zito did the same thing last season in Florida, waiting a few weeks before replacing Andrew Burnett with Paul Maurice. And Zito was as unapologetic as Trotz, saying he had to make sure he did what was best for his franchise. Elliot writes, I'm not crazy about it, but at the very least I can see a trend. So Boomer Gordon's just saying that was so disrespectful. And Barry Trotz, a former coach, and let me ask you guys this question, and I mean this total sincerity. Was it really that disrespectful? Barry Trotz told everybody what he was going to do. Now, some people didn't believe it, because most of the time we think these coaches and GMs are lying anyways, but he came on this show on the Thursday before the end of the season, and I asked him about Hines, and he gave me, what do you think, Ian, 2.5 minutes talking about how great of a coach John Hines was, but he didn't really address the question. And I said, okay, but is John going to be back? And Barry said it would be a process. Then the season's over. They have the end-of-the-year press conference. Paul Skrbina of the Tennessean asks Barry Trotz, is John Hines coming back? Barry Trotz says he has to evaluate it and to respect the process. Robbie Stanley has Barry Trotz on 3 weeks ago. Barry Trotz says he's still evaluating and that it's a process. Come to find out, Barry Trotz interviewed 3 guys, they say, 6 guys, according to Pierre LeBrun. And he ended up deciding to hire Andrew Burnett. They called John Hines on Monday morning, from what I was told, before it got out. They told John Hines what was what, and they went on with their lives. And I'm trying to figure out What is disrespectful about that? Because they told him what was going to happen. They told you what was going to happen. Now, I've never been in an open relationship before, but I know that those things exist. And if your partner in an open relationship says, look, I love you, but monogamy is not going to be my thing right now, you can't be upset when your partner cheats on you, can you? Again, he told everybody on the front end. He told me on this program. He told you at the press conference. He told Robbie on his show. He told John Hines. Like, he told everybody what he was going to do. And so some people will say, well, why didn't he just fire John Hines? Well, because he wanted to interview people to see if he liked other people better than John Hines. And I'll give you an example of this. In 1994, the Houston Oilers had a head coach by the name of Jack Pardee. And the Houston Oilers were terrible. And in the middle of that season, Floyd Reese fired Jack Pardee and elevated the defensive coordinator, Jeff Fisher, to be the head coach. And I asked Floyd one time, I said, what made you pick Jeff? And he said, I kept interviewing coaches. And as I kept interviewing them, I never found somebody that I liked as much as I liked Jeff. I would hear the answers from these other coaches, and I would compare them to Jeff, and I preferred Jeff. And so he ended up hiring Jeff Fisher. And Jeff Fisher, even though I didn't think he's a very good coach, and I thought he stabbed Floyd in the back, Jeff Fisher had a very long run as a head coach. And I say this because Barry Trotz told us what he was going to do. And if John Hines didn't like it, then John Hines could have said to Barry Trotz on the front end, either I'm your guy or you fire me. Now, he wouldn't have done that. And the reason he wouldn't have done that is because if he had done that, he would have been fired. But John Hines could have said that to Barry. He could have gone into Barry's office and said, either you love me or you don't, take it or leave it. Either I'm your guy or I'm not. And Barry would have said, you're not my guy, and would have fired him. So when I get all this talk about disrespectfulness and just, oh, they did John Hines so wrong, I'm like, how did they do him wrong? They told you the truth. They told me the truth. They told Robbie the truth. They told John Hines the truth. They told Elliot the truth. They told everybody the truth. I mean, so to me, I don't know how you can be mad at Barry Trotz. And I think it is, trying to think of the right word, I think it's wrong on the hockey people's part that are so offended by this, or the Boomer Gordons of the world that are so offended and think it was so disrespectful, to have done at least a little bit of homework and seen that this is exactly what they did. Like, that they were honest with everybody. And it bothers me that Barry Trotz, people think that he would treat a coach poorly, or people think that Barry Trotz isn't an honest guy or on the up and up, or that he acted with disrespect, when again, he kept everybody in the loop the whole time. Most guys would have lied to you, because most people, GMs and coaches, do lie. Like, we're conditioned to think everything they say is a lie. I think Barry told the truth the entire time. So, make of that what you will. I got to defend Barry on that one, because he never wavered. The first time he said it was with me. Second time was at the end of the season. Third time was with Robbie. He never wavered. And then when he got up there on the last day of May and said, I had set this to end on at the end of May, either he's great at making up things after the fact, or he was honest with everybody the whole time. And I'm not going to hammer a guy for being honest. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Corey Curtis, News 2, will join us. here on the program. Stillman and Company live at Hawkins Field, where Vandy is set to play tonight, right here on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Hey, this week's Nashville's Best Deal is Central Barbecue in Hillsborough Village. Central Barbecue is a slow-cooked Memphis-style barbecue restaurant where their motto is, smoke is our sauce. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals for half off a $30 gift card to Central Barbecue today. Stillman and Company live out at Hawkins Field again here at the Nashville Regional. Tough loss for my Musketeers today, but hopefully they'll rebound. Speaking of baseball, tune in for Sounds Baseball tonight at 6:04 on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Charlotte Knights, the AAA affiliate of the Chicago White Sox. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Corey Curtis, News 2, joins us on the program. So the Predators made a massive change on Tuesday. Out goes John Hines. In comes Andrew Burnett. The official Barry Trotz stamp has been placed. Your reaction?
I think a large change was made. But I think what I got more from it, anything, was kind of a mission statement from Barry Trotz, in that this team is going to be fast, and that they are going to score goals and a lot more goals. I mean, it felt like this giant step forward, that we are going to be a team that's offensive in the year 2024, like most teams are offensive in the 2024. And so I'm excited to see what kind of leap forward that they can take and how much more fun, you know, this hockey team can be to watch.
Corey, I have to tell you, I am absolutely giddy about this hire. I mean, I'm in. I think Burnett's going to be a great coach. And I was, you know, the morning show today was talking about, you know, his resume. And they were talking about, well, you know, that's only 1 year. And it was a pretty good year for a trial run to finish second in the Coach of the Year voting. I think he's an offensive guy. Success follows him everywhere he goes. Barry, not only would I trust to evaluate a coach, but also has the relationship, having gone back to the minor leagues with Andrew Burnett, coaching him here with the Predators. I mean, I know that, you know, anything can happen, that there are guys that get hired we think are going to be great hires and end up being terrible and fired 5 days later. But I think that this is really, you know, on paper, I think this is a great hire by the Predators.
Well, I mean, look, nobody gives somebody, you know, $1 or $2 or $5 million a year because they think they're going to fail. So that goes without question. But like you said, the guy got one chance to be a head coach and he won 51 games. Yes, it was on an interim basis, but over the course of a season, if he doesn't have the respect of the team, it's going to fall apart as the year goes along. And it didn't fall apart for that hockey team. And, you know, you talk about all of the experience with Andrew Burnett. I think that's important, because what I get back to on a lot of these hires isn't always as much about X's and O's as it is the man. And, you know, is this man a leader? Like, do I think Mike Vrabel is an X's and O's genius? No. But I think he is an impeccable leader of men. He is a massive presence in the room. Nobody questions who's in charge. Nobody questions if he's prepared. And because of that, you know, I believe he's an outstanding head coach, despite, I don't think, being an X's and O's generational coach, okay? He's not Andy Reid over there on the offensive side of the ball who just gets it done. And so, you know, they believe that about Andrew Burnett. They believe in coach offense, and we'll see how well, but they believe in the man, a man that they have both known for over 30 years. I mean, it goes to along the lines with Barry Trotz and will he be successful in this position as GM? Well, I believe in the man, so I believe he can do it. And I think a lot of that goes the same way with Andrew Burnett.
Corey Curtis, News 2 is with us. Do you buy into kind of the national discourse that Trotz did John Hines dirty?
No, I don't think he did him dirty. He's still getting paid for this year. Do I agree with interviewing head coaches while you have a head coach there? No, I don't. And from a simple aspect of, if you think you need to go interview other head coaches, then you know the guy you've got isn't your guy. Okay? So just fire him and move on. And also, you know, and look, they know Andrew Burnett, so he's probably not going to worry as much. What does that tell every other coach in the league? And how would Barry have felt if David was interviewing other people every year when he was the head coach? He probably wouldn't have liked it very much. again.
But didn't that happen?
You know, I don't remember happening.
So, and I'll explain to you. Like, you don't think that John Hines interviewed for this job while Peter Laviolette was still coaching it?
No, I don't think so. I think John Hines was. I think everybody has their list in their drawer, and I think everybody does homework on people. John Hines, wasn't he a Ray Shero guy in New
yes.
Jersey? Yeah. So just like Peter, David knew Peter from Team USA, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So we all knew. So you have those connections, but I think there's a difference between that and interviewing guys and deciding, are we going to keep our old guy or do we like one of these guys better?
So you think that they fired Laviolette when they got back from Anaheim at 5 p.m. on a Monday, and that between 5 p.m. on a Monday and 9 a.m. when they hired Hines, that they then started the process of searching for a new coach?
No, I didn't say that at all. I mean, when you fire a head coach during the season, you've got to know who's next. And so they obviously knew who was next. I don't think they interviewed five people while Lavi was coaching during the season. I think, you know, he did his homework and he knew, okay, John Hines is available. We're going to tap John Hines. And that's, you know, that's what I feel good about. I think those are two completely different circumstances. And again, I don't feel sorry for John. I'm not saying that, you know, I don't go along with, you know, they did him dirty. It's just not the way that I would do it. I mean, if I felt like I needed to go interview other candidates, that would tell me all I need to know about my head coaching position that I've got. If I need to go interview other guys, that tells me I don't believe fully in the guy that I've got.
Corey Curtis, News 2 is with us. So every year that Hines was here, the Predators were right there on that playoff cut line. They lost in the bubble in the play-in. Then they made the playoffs. They made the playoffs, and then they didn't make it last year. There, I associate a sugar high kind of for teams when they fire the coach, which is why hockey teams fire the coach so consistently in the middle of the season. Do you expect, like, the Predators, let's say that their baseline is right there, you know, midline playoffs, do you expect the sugar high of Andrew Burnett to pop them up a little bit going into next year?
Well, I hope so. I mean, I hope that the newness of them, you know, it takes some teams a while to adjust to how they're playing. But, you know, if the other thing is this is a young hockey team. They should get better. They should grow. They should improve. I mean, they should have players on the ice who are a year better than they were. So, you know, from that aspect, they should be better as well. I expect a better hockey team in 2023-24, for sure.
Corey, how will you remember John Hines as a Predators coach?
Mediocre. You know, he's a guy who righted a ship that was sinking fast, and then just kind of paddled along. Now, again, he didn't have a losing season in 4 years. All right, so it wasn't. I know people want to paint it out to be a disaster. It wasn't a disaster. He's not a bad hockey coach. They won more games than they lost.
Oh, I think he's a bad coach.
Okay, well, he won more games than he lost, so those numbers would dictate something different, okay? And he won more games than he lost, but you're not in it to win more games than you lose. You're in it to win championships. And after 4 years, I think you could safely say he was not going to lead them to a championship.
Corey Curtis, News 2 on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. What's your hot take this week?
You know, after watching him for the last couple of years, and I know he's a two-time MVP, Nikola Jokic is amazing because he is the worst looking spectacular player I think I've seen in just about any sport. I mean, he's big and long and doesn't look overly athletic or coordinated, but just knows the game so well and has such great hands and vision that he's a generational player. Whereas if you just saw him probably practicing, you wouldn't think that. I mean, the guy, you know, when you talk about passing the eye test, he's one of those guys who wouldn't get picked. I mean, obviously he's 7'9" or whatever he is. So when I say he's not the guy you would pick first, but once the game started, you'd be like, oh, man, I should have picked that guy first. He is unbelievable. I mean, just that guy, just the nuance of the game that that guy has is so unbelievable that he just overcomes not being the fastest or the best jumper or anything like that. He just knows the game so darn well and has such good fundamentals, like I said, with his hands, with his shot, with the way he uses his body to create space. He's fun to watch in an ugly kind of way.
I kept trying to think of a comp for Nikola Jokic, and I've about 2 weeks ago I landed on Karl Malone with an outside game.
No, Karl Malone was way smoother than he was.
Jokic is pretty smooth, man.
You think so?
Look, yeah.
I think Malone was way more athletic. I mean, Karl Malone was big and strong and could run the floor. Talk about passing the eye test. If those two guys, you've never seen a play, lined up in front of you and said, pick one to start your team with.
Karl Malone was kind of lumpy, though.
No. Karl Malone was jacked. You're lumpy. I'm lumpy. Karl Malone was jacked.
No, Karl Malone was a little... Ian, was Karl Malone a little lumpy?
I don't know. I just saw a video today of the finals where he missed a couple of free throws that led to Michael Jordan hitting the game-winning shot in game one. He looks pretty jacked to me.
You know what Scotty said to him before those free throws?
Yeah, something about the mailman doesn't deliver on Sunday.
Yep, Scotty went up to him. He's getting ready to shoot a free throw. Scotty goes, mailman doesn't deliver on Sundays. I'll tell you, like, he wasn't Barkley, but I feel like he also wasn't Patrick Ewing when it came to his body, or Tim Duncan, or that. I mean, I thought
Duncan,
Malone was a little...
Tim
was
Duncan
a little,
looked like E.T.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, he's skinny. Whereas Malone, I think Malone, like, Malone had arms, but I thought Malone had a little bit of a... Like a dad bod at 6'8" in the post.
You do not know what you're talking about here. You know what? Tim Duncan may be a pretty good comp for Nikola Jokic.
I don't think Duncan passed like Jokic, though.
Yeah. I mean, he gets that ball up above his head. He just sees everything. He's amazing.
So I have Googled Karl Malone shirt off, which is something I never thought that I would Google.
That's forever in your search history.
I mean, like, I'm not going to say that Karl Malone was on roids, but it definitely looks like Karl Malone,
okay.
You know.
Go look at Malone in college and look at him with the Utah Jazz. I'm not going to accuse him of being on roids either because you just don't know. It is not the same bod.
Boy, I tell you, it's hard to argue that Malone was lumpy. He's got like a 12-pack.
Thank you. This is, you're admitting this was a horrible argument that you made.
I may relent on my Karl Malone body type here. When I look at Karl Malone, literally, and I guess he went and did some wrestling because it looks like there's these pictures of him wrestling. He looks like, even when he played, he had the body of a wrestler.
Yeah.
So I am taking my Karl Malone. That was an all-time bad Jared Stillman take. I'm taking it back.
Okay. Thanks, dude. I appreciate it. That's a small victory in my world.
Corey Curtis, News 2, as always, on the program. Great stuff, Corey. Appreciate your time.
Bye-bye.
Now, I want everybody out there that thinks that I never change my opinions. Jared Stillman never. He's the most closed-minded. I completely and totally, Jared Stillman never admits he's wrong.
There's one.
I got to tell you, man, these pictures of Karl Malone.
I mean, his muscle, I mean, you could even see when he was wearing his basketball jersey. His arms are always been pretty large.
I mean, honestly, I think I'm looking at Sammy Sosa of basketball. Why did I think Karl Malone was lumpy? I don't know. 615-737-1025. If you want to weigh in, 615-737-1025. The latest update on DeAndre Hopkins, plus what Diana has to say. Diana Russini. And we know if it comes from Diana, she's probably done her homework on the Titans. We'll get to that. 615-737-1025 here on our program. Stillman & Company, you can watch us streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. And our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app and use promo code THEGAME.
You guys have any interest in DeAndre Hopkins? You know, I think our focus has always been about the players that we have here, and we'll keep you updated as, you know, we continue to add players to the roster.
A guy like that available, is that kind of what you were touching on when you had mentioned, you know, how there's another phase of free agency, how it's not finished?
Well, players come available at different times of the year, all the way up until the trade deadline, and then, you know, those some of those veteran players that may be out there. That signed throughout the offseason and training camp and even into the season. So, you know, player acquisition is always going to be something that you can try to add to your roster at different times.
Mike Vrabel has trained us to think that coaches and GMs lie, and that's why nobody gives Barry Trotz the respect when it comes to Barry telling you everything that he was doing when it came to John Hines, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, everyone gets mad at Barry because he actually did what he said he was going to do, because we're not used to that, because we're used to Vrabel like pleading the fifth. And that's what he did there. But we do have a report from the desk of Diana Russini.
Diana Russini report comes directly from the desk of Mike Vrabel, most likely.
As we know, a Diana report is either about the Titans, from the Titans, or at least, in my opinion, for this report, has been checked in on by the Titans. And so Diana Russini was on ESPN. They asked her on Get Up about the latest with DeAndre Hopkins. And here's what she said, and I will explain my interpretation of this Diana report after we play it.
So DeAndre Hopkins wants to get paid the type of money that we saw Odell Beckham Jr. get paid. Not that same exact amount, but money's definitely part of this. And financially, when you're looking at all the teams around the league that are interested in DeAndre Hopkins, it's got to work financially for them. So you look at teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. You heard Nick talk about them being a good fit for them. Do they have the money? And would Hopkins be willing to maybe take less to play with a quarterback like Josh Allen or, let's say, Patrick Mahomes? And it's really going to come down to what he prefers and what he wants, as there are several teams, including the New England Patriots, who are interested in DeAndre Hopkins. And we're going to see over the next few weeks Hopkins taking visits with different teams, Brian, and he's going to make a decision on what's best for him.
Okay. So she says several teams are interested in DeAndre Hopkins, including the New England Patriots. But notice who Diana didn't say was included in teams interested in Hopkins. Now, I want you to follow me on this. I believe before Diana goes on TV, she was something like that. She probably checked in with the Titans. Are you guys interested in DeAndre Hopkins? And because the Titans tell her everything, they probably told her no. And so when Diana goes on TV and says several teams are interested, including the Patriots, we can safely assume that the Titans are not interested in DeAndre Hopkins. Did you follow that conspiracy theory, Ian?
A little.
Do you agree with it or disagree with it?
I'm not sure, like, before she goes on TV about these reports on Hopkins, she's just, like, checking in with every team about, hey, are you in on Hopkins? More so, maybe so, she just hears stuff. I don't know. I don't know if she's going around all these different teams asking, hey, I'm about to go on TV today with the latest on Hopkins. You got anything? Or is it just, like, you know, what you kind of get told or what you hear? I'm not sure. Maybe there's no difference.
I don't think Diana sends out 32 text messages before she goes on TV, but I think she sends out some, and I think she sends one here. And as we've learned about the Titans and Diana, they text back. So, I mean, I never thought the Titans were interested in Hopkins. I have no idea why they wouldn't be, unless Vrabel thinks he's a bad guy. You know, we talked about how Bill Polian said he'd be wary of Hopkins and that Hopkins doesn't practice much. And so the idea that originally of, oh, no, Hopkins is only going to the Chiefs or the Bills Well, that's bull crap because DeAndre Hopkins said, or at least told the Houston Chronicle, that he would be interested in going back to the Texans. So whenever you say something like, oh, no, he wants to win a ring, well, obviously that's not true because he was interested in going, said he was interested in going back to the Texans. So to me, it's all about the money. And there's nobody out there that's willing to give him the money. And I mean real hard-earned cash. You know, Kansas City tried to work a deal out with him. Odell signed for $15 million, and that blew that deal up, according to Albert Breer. And Albert Breer says that was the deal they ultimately gave Donovan Smith. Well, the deal that they gave Donovan Smith to play left tackle is 1 year, $3 million. And so that was probably the deal they were working on. That's probably where Kansas City started, was 1 year, $3 million. And then DeAndre saw Odell get 15, and then it was like, well, wait a minute, hold up. I understand I'm taking a pay cut and that I have to take a pay cut because I'm a veteran coming off of two down years. But Odell has had four down years and didn't even play last year. And I think I am way, way more worth $3 million if he's worth 15. That's just my interpretation of it. But I do feel like if Diana is not saying the Titans are interested, then either the Titans are trying to secretly be interested and they didn't even tell Diana, which I can't imagine because they told Diana who they were going to draft with the third overall pick, or they're not interested, which I think is probably the truth. And I just can't get over them not being interested, only because if you tell me you're not interested in DeAndre Hopkins, then you're telling me that you think Chris Moore is good enough as the number two receiver of this team. And Chris Moore just doesn't have the resume to be good enough to be the number two receiver of this team.
I don't know. Is Hopkins like just a fit with the Titans as far as like short-term versus long-term outlook? Do you make a short-term move for DeAndre Hopkins? Is it worth it?
Well, who's the long-term answer at wide receiver two?
Well, that's a plan to be determined. But do you want to like ruin that spot and or opportunity or fill it with DeAndre Hopkins if something else were to happen?
If the draft were going to be next week, I think that that would be a valid argument. But because the draft is passed, I don't think there's a way to get the long-term answer at number two receiver for the Titans. I don't think there's a way to do that until you get to the draft. And because the draft's over, I think you have to have a short-term option.
I'm just wondering how much Hopkins helps the Titans in like their plan as far as trying to build the team right now. You know, as they kind of look at this and project for next season, because we're already up in the air about what they're trying to do for next season.
Well, but let's just say that, you know, we're saying, all right, what's the long-term answer? DeAndre Hopkins would be taking reps away from Chris Moore, who's on a one-year deal and is a veteran, so he doesn't count as a
probably
long-term
not.
Option.
No, probably not.
Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, who's on a one-year deal and is a veteran and is not a long-term option at number two receiver. Racy McMath, who has one first down in his career. Kyle Phillips, who plays the slot. And Colton Dowell, who they took in the seventh round.
Or Burks,
you see what I'm saying?
Or Burks maybe. Unless, if he took a,
well, Burks is number one.
If he took a, but he might take a few reps from Burks if he were to. But yeah, I know what you're saying as far as like trying to build one that's already on the roster and using those snaps to develop somebody.
Right.
That probably might not work. But I'm just trying to figure out, is it worth the Titans to spend the money to have Hopkins for 1 year for this upcoming season?
Like, yes.
Does that actually help the team in any way moving forward?
I think it absolutely helps the team. And I don't even like Hopkins. But I think it helps the team because they don't have a number two receiver.
It helps them probably win some extra game, maybe an extra game or two this season, if they're lucky at the most.
Okay, so they were 2 minutes and 30 seconds away from winning the division last year, right?
Correct.
And they had everything go wrong. At receiver, offensive line, the quarterback got hurt, so on and so forth. If those things happen again this year, then they'll probably lose just as much, if not more, this upcoming season. But we don't think those things are going to happen. Then they play a second-place schedule. So they lost to Buffalo, they're off the schedule. They lost to Kansas City last year, they're off the schedule. Jacksonville has to play a first-place schedule, Indy's got a rookie quarterback. Houston's got a rookie quarterback. So the division is very much there for the taking, in my opinion, which then takes us to Hopkins. And that is, well, if he wins you a couple more games, what does that mean? Well, last year, that means that you would have been in the playoffs. And I'm a firm believer in the NFL playoffs. Nobody thought the Cincinnati Bengals were going to go to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Nobody thought that the Rams were better than Tampa Bay or Green Bay. And they ended up winning the Super Bowl. So as long as you're there and you've got a competitive nucleus, and with Tannehill and Henry, they've got a competitive nucleus, I think it's worth a shot.
Do you think a bunch of people would start picking the Titans to win the division if they signed Hopkins?
No, I think everybody thinks Tannehill sucks.
So,
I think that's how, but that doesn't mean that that's true.
Correct, yeah.
And that's kind of the difference here. I mean, I just look at it as they don't have a second receiver. And I just don't know, like, how do you go into the season without a second receiver? And Hopkins is probably the only guy that's out there, and I would guess probably the only guy that's going to be out there that is worth a number two receiver, that could actually be a number two receiver. I'm not asking to be a number one. I'm asking for a number two. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll get to your phones on this. And I saw the stupidest headline in the history of ESPN in regards to DeAndre Hopkins, which I feel like is manipulative of the audience. We'll get to that. Stillman & Company, Fireball Hot Take Friday, live from Hawkins Field, 1025, 1063, the game.
Publicly, he's going to say, I just want to go somewhere and win. If that's true, he could have signed with the Chiefs or the Bills already. You know, he could go and, you know, say to the Jets, I'll take whatever, let's figure it out. There's, you know, it's a jammed wide receiver room, but, you know, I like the fact that you brought in Aaron Rodgers. He's a player I respect. I mean, the options are on the table for him to go to any number of situations where it's going to be a ring chasing situation. I think ultimately he's going to go to where the money is the best, just like Odell Beckham Jr. did. Odell Beckham Jr. took $15 million the second it was offered to him and canceled a visit to the Jets because he knew there was no way in hell he was going to get $15 million from the Jets. I think it'll be the same situation with Hopkins. I'm not, and I don't want to say here, look, he's not interested in winning. Okay, I don't want to say that. But again, he turns 31 next week. This is it.
There you go. That was Charles Robinson on the morning show saying, like, yeah, he could have. If he wanted to win, if it was all about chasing a quarterback, if it was all about, he could have signed with the Chiefs, signed with the Bills, but he didn't want to. He's going to be like Odell Beckham. He's going to take the most money. I saw a headline today on ESPN that I could not believe. Now, people apparently are mad at ESPN this week because they're raising like a pride flag for Pride Month. I don't care about that, but I guess some people do. That doesn't bother me. This headline at ESPN bothers me. Is $21 million in cap space enough for the Cowboys to sign DeAndre Hopkins? Is $21 million in cap space enough? Who comes up with this stuff? And I know the Joes of the world, the writers, they say, don't just read the headlines, read the article. And I actually did read the article, but with a headline that stupid, I don't think anybody needs to read the article. Is $21 million in cap space enough to sign DeAndre Hopkins? What contract do you think DeAndre Hopkins is going to get? We've been over it for the umpteenth time about how anybody can do anything they want with the salary cap. And that the only people who actually believe that the cap limits spending of teams, the only people who believe that, you know, also probably believe in, you know, mythical big red guys at the end of the year. Like, that's it. And again, $21 million? What kind of contract do you think DeAndre Hopkins is going to get? Is $21 million in space enough? DeAndre Hopkins was set to make $19 with Arizona in base salary. So you easily could have brought him in with $21 million. And it drives me crazy when the people who should know better perpetuate the salary cap myth onto you all. You all believe in the salary cap because the people that you watch on TV, whose job it is to tell you these things, have told you cap, 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 cap. And we've only debunked every myth every time one of these things happens. But this isn't even about the myth of the salary cap. This is just pure unadulterated stupidity. Is $21 million in cap space enough for the Cowboys to sign DeAndre Hopkins? Of course it is. DeAndre Hopkins is going to end up with like $8 million. What are you talking about? $21 million. I mean, it's what is the matter with these people? And by the way, here's the secret. The Cowboys could easily afford DeAndre Hopkins, especially with $21 million in cap space. But they may not do it because here's the secret. Jerry is cheap. Look it up. Jerry Jones is one of the six owners in the league who has to spend X amount of dollars this year because over a three-year period, the Cowboys have not spent enough money on their roster to be compliant with the CBA. They're one of six. Now, I don't know who the other five are, but I'm going to guess it's the poor teams or the teams with the young quarterbacks like the Chargers and the Bengals and Jerry. Jerry talks a big game. Jerry has a very expensive stadium, but Jerry does not spend that much money on players. 615-737-1025. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Todd texts in and says a one-year, $9 to $10 million deal with incentives solves the short-term number two and does nothing to harm the team long-term. Amen, Todd. You know, I used to believe in the cap. So when the Titans signed Jadeveon Clowney for 1 year at $12.5 million, and they were not able to roll over that $12.5 million into the next season, I thought, well, that cost them Jonnu Smith. But I was wrong. I was wrong. It doesn't matter. What matters is whatever you're willing to pay. And so I look at the Titans and the fact that they're, I think, what is it, $62 million behind the Buffalo Bills and spending $64 million behind the Ravens, $92 million behind the Cleveland Browns. I look at the fact that they're 26th in the league in payroll and that we're giving them $1.2 billion in public money for a new stadium. They can afford a $9 million contract for DeAndre Hopkins. They can follow that easy. And they don't lose any draft choices. And when everybody says, well, Julio Jones cost you draft choices. Julio Jones cost you a second-round pick. That's A.J. Brown. That's Derrick Henry. That is, last year, a starting corner in Roger McCreary. Julio Jones cost you a second-round pick. This would not cost you that. Raymond says Tannehill was such a good with a good nucleus against the Bengals and Ravens, and when the Titans needed him against the Chiefs, he is a playoff choking hazard warning. I mean, I don't think you're going to go to Cincinnati and beat Joe Burrow in a shootout with Tannehill, but I do think Tannehill is not the same bad Tannehill he was in 21. And all you got to do is make it. All you got to do is make the dance in the NFL. Are you likely to win the Super Bowl? Probably not. But, I mean, I think it's worth trying. Jacksonville got into a playoff game against Kansas City last year, and Patrick Mahomes rolled his ankle. And Jacksonville could have won that game. And you could have won that game because you almost beat Kansas City last year when you played Malik at quarterback. Texter says, why does the national media keep saying the Patriots are a player for Hopkins? I don't think Hopkins is a big fan of their offensive coordinator. DeAndre Hopkins doesn't care about Bill O'Brien. He doesn't care about Bill Belichick. He doesn't care about Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen. And he doesn't care about Mike Vrabel, Ryan Tannehill, Tim Kelly, or Jared Stillman. DeAndre Hopkins only cares about the money. So when people say the Patriots are interested, the Patriots are probably interested at a Patriot price, which is basically for free. And I'm not sure he's going to take that. But if the Patriots offered him real money, I think DeAndre Hopkins would go to the Patriots. And I just think that's how he is. That's how this is. Charles Robinson, we played the cut. Again, it's about the money when it comes to DeAndre Hopkins. And very little else. It's about the money. Texter says even if the Titans sign Hopkins, they still won't make the playoffs. They'll be lucky to be a 500 team. I disagree. I think the Titans will be a 500 team without Hopkins. The question is, can you make the playoffs with him? And then what can you do? And as I said 1,000 times, Burks is still the number one receiver. And if he pops and you have Hopkins, you got a shot. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. I believe that Andrew Burnett, the new head coach of the Predators, is being disrespected. And it may even come from our own station. We'll get to that coming up next here on the program. Fireball Hot Take Friday. You know I love Fireball whiskey. Goes down so smooth and it tastes so great. There's no better way to ignite the night, celebrate the summer, than to do so with ice-cold Fireball Center Whiskey. That's right. Fireball Whiskey. It tastes so great. And if you're with your friends or you're out celebrating or you're having a ball, you want to do so with Fireball Whiskey. That's Fireball Whiskey. Ignite the night. Please do it responsibly and be 21 years or older to enjoy Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey.